I'm Em Sauter, better known as Pints and Panels.
And I'm Don Tess, better known as the Don of Beer.
Welcome to episode 42 of the All About Beer podcast. Every 2 weeks, we talk with leading experts and take a deep dive into one topic in beer. This week on the show, we're going to be talking to you about sales and distribution, everyone's favorite. Visit allaboutbeer.com and follow us on social media at All About Beer. And if you're feeling generous, please visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/allaboutbeer, to support this show and others. So Don, you live in Canada.
Yes. Yes, I do.
What is sales and distribution like? Is it different? Is it the same?
I was actually just thinking that I'm very much looking forward to this episode because I'm thoroughly confused by the whole U.S. three-tier system and franchise laws and all that sort of thing. So then I was thinking that to you, the Canadian system is probably just as confusing as the American system is to me. That's what I was thinking.
I'm sure, because it's province by provincial, and here in America, it's state by state. So maybe it isn't that different after all.
Maybe not. But I mean, there are definitely, like, I don't even understand.
The three-tier system is a mystery. And I think it's a mystery to a lot of people who just don't think about distribution. I'm excited because today we're going to be talking about sales, which is a part of things that people don't really look at.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking with two really great guests, a distributor owner and a sales and training manager. And I'm really excited about it because they get the beer to the market and into your hands so you can drink it.
Yes.
But first, if you'd like to help support the All About Beer podcast, reach out to podcast@allaboutbeer.com. Speaking of supporting the show, here's a word from our sponsors.
Estrella Galicia, where brewing excellence has been a family tradition since 1906. They're all about lager, rooted in German brewing heritage. Maintaining their commitment to tradition, they brew exclusively in their original brewery in La Coruña, Spain. Each beer boasts its own distinctive recipe. No shortcuts, no compromises. They shun high-gravity tricks and avoid additives, even in their alcohol-free beers, and stick firmly to traditional methods. Their passion for beer sets them apart as they embrace and celebrate the art of brewing. At Estrella Galicia, they love beer above all things. Experience the difference and learn more by visiting them on Instagram at Estrella Galicia USA.
Lisa Terso is a territory sales manager for Allagash Brewing Company, covering Connecticut and New York State. She has also just accepted a promotion with Allagash as the sales training and development manager. Lisa lives in New Haven, Connecticut, and began working in the craft beer industry as a waitress back in 2007 for Delaney's Tap Room. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Happy to be here.
I actually really wanted to talk to you because you have both distributor experience and bartender experience. Lisa bartended at Delaney's, which was RIP, a great bar in New Haven, Connecticut, where my husband and I used to go. And you have distributor experience and you also have sales experience. And you work for Allagash, which is a wonderful brewery. But you don't live in Maine, you live in Connecticut. So like, what's your day-to-day look like when you're helping a brewery that's, you know, a 3-hour car ride away?
It's a great question. So this job has to succeed with this job, it requires a ton of preparation. So I actually work a little bit every day of the week if I can, not because I'm like, it's actually to make my life easier. So I'll allocate like an hour in the morning on Saturday, an hour in the morning on Sunday to just kind of stay in like a little bit of the mindset of like where I'm going to be. Otherwise Monday becomes ineffective and that's a big sales day. So from a supplier standpoint, especially going outside of the home market, it is so crucial to plan and prepare. In other words, we utilize Karma, which is our CRM. And that is how we like plan our stops and record what we've done with sales and who we've talked to and where we've been. And it's a great interactive tool to help us prepare because you can't really, I mean, if you wake up, if you think about it, if you just wake up, you're like in your house, you're not going to an office and you're kind of on your own island. Like we jokingly call it like the Allagash Island, us and the other ladies, because Because we feel like we're on an island sometimes, not because of the company, but because of the nature of the position. So that's definitely, you know, to continue with the day-to-day after the preparing, it's just execute. I mean, all I do is try to get into a place where I can wake up, eat a good breakfast, and go sell some beer. And that is the goal. Does it always stay the goal? I mean, does the goal always get achieved? Not always. There's definitely things that get thrown at you. We have meetings that aren't necessarily at the most opportune times of the day, like, you know, internally. So it can kind of throw a wrench in the works. I also cover New York State, a portion of New York State.
Oh,
so
I was like, the whole New York State, that's a big ass
thing. I don't do the city, no. Okay. But yeah, so it's just a lot of preparing and like fitting in those puzzle pieces to like make it kind of be as cohesive as it can be.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that Monday is a big sales day. Why is that? What's so special about Monday? Is it just like, yeah, no, what's so special about Monday?
Well, when I say Monday's a big sales day, I don't necessarily mean beer arriving, like beer shipping, but it's a really good day to just gain momentum and sell the brand, represent the brand in the trade. It's kind of a job that requires that momentum, whether you have to create it yourself or you're somebody that can just run on that constantly. I'm somebody that needs to kind of create it. And so if I make my office day Monday, I tend to have a less successful week, because that's another thing. You have to kind of allocate administration duty time. So there's usually about a half day or a day a week that needs to go to that. Mm-hmm. Most people do like to take it on Monday, but I myself prefer to get out there, talk to. The other reason for that is really because you're beating out your competition. Mm-hmm. So just as I'm going to go out during the week, so are 50 other reps. And so if I wait until Tuesday, Wednesday for that stop, they might have already committed to their week's buys with somebody else that had the same mindset to go out on a Monday. So it's kind of like the early bird catches the worm. Mm. Not every buyer is going to be in. Like, things are not consistent, especially ever since the pandemic. However, getting the information out there, whether it be an email blast featuring a new item or making some phone calls or just getting in the car and going, it's really important to gain that momentum on a Monday.
Do you think your role is any different because you work for a brewery that specializes in Belgian IPA, like I guess, Belgian beer? I'm envisioning that people who sell hazy IPAs have an easier job than you, or do you disagree with that?
You know, I would tend to disagree, because the beer that I'm selling has been sold for 25 plus years, and it's still over 70% of our business. And so,
and it's
when
delicious.
You think about it.
Yeah, and white is very, very good.
Yeah, and like, we receive recognition for it. I think it's objectively really good, you know? Like, I don't think obviously it's up to opinion whether you like a beer or not, but I think to just, you know, it's well made, and it's not something that I have to shy away from when I'm going in. Like, people are happy to see the Allagash rep, you know? There's a difference when you're selling Allagash versus selling maybe somebody else's, you know, Joe Schmo's brand. Like, people are just more happy to talk to you. They're happy you stop in, and they're more receptive to at least listen to what you have to say. And with that, to refer back to that hazy IPA comment, the issue I would find with the hazy IPA is it's going to become a somewhat of a popularity contest with reps, because there's so many. So yes, the tap lines do majority hold, you know, they put four or five hazies on, and they're hesitant sometimes to put Blue Moon and Allagash on, you know, two widths or two versions of that beer. However, with hazy IPA, I don't know how I could stay on top of that unless I had the shoe-in brand that everybody is drinking at that time.
Well, I think you'd sell it, yeah, because yours is made with Citra and Mosaic.
And theirs is made with Mosaic.
Yeah, no,
and
it's Citra. Yeah, exactly. Like, I've sold a bunch of hazy IPAs in my past career, and, you know, earlier in my career, and I can tell you that it's not necessarily easier. Some, I mean, it is for like a rotator, like if you're selling in a rotating keg, it could just be a quicker, you know, I have a hazy IPA, but that's talking in terms of a smaller segment of sales. Like it's like those high craft account, you know, high spotter accounts that have like 20 plus lines. And again, those are not as prevalent in the last couple of years.
That's
you're
true,
not seeing yeah. that, you're not seeing that model come out too much.
Yeah, I feel like in Connecticut we have it's a very like curated list now. You go to a regular restaurant, it's going to be like 8 taps, maybe 6 to 8, couple locals. But I mean, I see Allagash a fair amount, either in bottle or on draft, and it's always nice to see. But I'm a real fangirl when it comes to Allagash.
Stop shilling for Allagash.
All right. Anyway, so wait,
you make good beer. I mean, it is what it is.
They make great beer, and they're nice people. It's a good company. I'm a big.
They are really nice people.
Yeah,
no super disagreement nice. From me. I'm just being difficult.
Yeah, I wanted to ask though. So they're happy to see you, the liquor stores. But what do you do when the liquor store is looking for like free beer? I know in Connecticut we have really strict laws about that, but like, what do you do when you have bad seeds when you visit a liquor store and they're like, oh, where's my free umbrella? Or like, you know, can I like buy one, get one, or stuff like that? Does Allagash have protocol for something like that?
When situations like that arise, I mean, everything is situational. So sure. Yes, we always adhere. I always adhere to the law because somebody taught me a long time ago that it might seem easier to just say yes to their demands. But the second you say yes, you're opening a door that can't be closed. Therefore, if they ask for a free beer once and you say yes, oh, let me just slide this in, no one will ever know. Well, guess what? They're never not going to ask you. And so it becomes something where you need to kind of set your boundaries, just like you would in life, like with anything else. And you just are confident in the beer that you sell and the business that you have. We're not in a position to be as desperate as that. I mean, I don't know if that's the right terminology, but we have the ability and the permission and the support to say no. So when we feel uncomfortable, whether that's harassment of any sort, or if we're being asked to do things or provide things that are not legal and they don't accept the answer, we are not expected to push back further. We are totally supported in doing what makes us feel safe, what will put our brand in the best light, and also just always maintaining a level of respect. I think when you're confident and respectful, people will return that for the most part. I don't get a lot of pushback. Maybe I don't get a 10-case stack on the floor, but it's not really about that either, because we want to sell fresh beer. So like, I'd rather just get a couple cases in and then have them reorder rather than have 10 cases on a floor that are dusty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it's just a way that you frame your sales, like quality over quantity. And so if somebody wants something for a raffle or a fundraiser, on the contrary, we're the first people to want to sign up. You know what I mean? Like there's paperwork, there's documents like 501c3s and other legal ways to provide support or pay the rent, as I like to call it. And, you know, cause your brand you don't own the space that you're in, you know, we're kind of renting there. Right. You know, you give us a shelf set, we don't own it. So how do we pay the rent? Well, you can go in, you can pick up I can buy a case. I can buy samples there. You know, there's ways to help without having to do it the cheap way or the crooked way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you got to have integrity as a
you do, or else you kind of tarnish the brand.
Yeah. And yeah, no, you don't want it. Allagash has such a sterling reputation, or any like craft beer should. Yeah. You should keep it on the up and up. So good on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not because I'm a good person.
So
don't get it twisted.
All right, yeah, fair.
I'm kind of a good person though.
You're a nice person.
Thank you.
And so you're a good salesperson, and that's why we're all shocked.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And that's why we're talking to you. So, all right, Don, ask your question.
No, I want to say, because you are kind of saying it, you know, how you go about selling beer and what you do day to day. I think that by contrast, I think that a common stereotype of a beer sales rep is that you go out to bars every night of the week and you just open up a tab and buy people drinks, and it's really just a party time kind of thing. So, you know, what do you wish people understood about your job?
Listen, when I took the supplier job, part of me thought that it was like that coming from the distributor side. And I was like, not because I wanted to party, like it's kind of the last thing I want to do now at this age. However, it's so much more. I have learned more working for Allagash on systems and I would say like computer programs and things of that nature and numbers and how to sell with numbers, not just personality. Like I've learned more in the few years at Allagash than I have in my entire career. It's a lot. Like it's a lot of wholesaler management. So I think that's the piece that I think people forget. So we're a three-tier system, and for those that don't know, it just means that the beer comes from Allagash and it's not allowed to hit your favorite bar until it gets delivered through a distributor. Seems easy enough. However, it's not. So it becomes a lot of wholesaler management because basically, if you think about it, I'm one person and I'm covering two states and five wholesalers. How the heck does anyone do that? Your best bet is to develop rapport, establish rapport, and build relationships with those reps. Or even my advice for somebody would be, you know, kind of eyeball who loves Allagash the most at that wholesaler? Who loves your brand already? That's your buddy. Take them to lunch, spend the day in the car with them. Get them on the up and up when you have a new item coming. They then become your salesperson, not like total, like I don't mean it in a demeaning way. I mean it like they're on your team.
Right.
And that covers 100 accounts. You know what I mean? And then you kind of build out from there, but it's a lot. It's, you know, it's interpersonal communication and building relationships is not something that you can do by punching in some numbers. It's not something you can do by just showing up once. So it requires a lot of consistent communication, even when you don't feel like it. And the depletions is the easy part. I mean, that's how I do my job and how I advise people to do their jobs when they don't, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I have to drink. I have to go out and drink to support this beer or I'm not going to be able to keep it on. And I look at it completely differently. I look at it as gaining a new customer base. Like when I ran into you about a month ago, I was at J. Timothy's, which
excellent.
Shout out J. Timothy's.
If you're in Plainville, Connecticut, best wings.
Best
ask
wings.
After them dirt style, and they have Allagash on. So
unbelievable. Unbelievable service. Unbelievable beer. I mean, the beer tasted so delicious. But anyways, that was an opportunity for me to, what I say, gain new fans and customers, because you do offer to the waitress that at the, you know, during that time, hey, while I'm sitting here, if you'd like to pitch this beer to anyone at your tables, put it on my tab. I'll take their first beer. You know what I mean? And it's like a way to kind of get interest and support the brand as well as deplete the product. And I didn't have a beer. You know, I didn't feel compelled to drink. I didn't even have a sip of beer. I actually went on, you know, I've gone 3 months at a time, no drinking, and still been able to, quote, pay the rent at these places and make people happy. So there is a lot more. I guess I deviated from the question, but the wholesaler management piece is a big deal, especially because there's a lot of turnover, specifically at the field sales level. And I can't really speak to that or why that is, but it just is what it is. And therefore, you can put, and this is also on the retailer side. And so as much as you need to establish this relationship, the next thing you know, it's like pulled out, you know, it's like they're ghosting you. It's like getting ghosted. And then like you have to start from scratch again. And like, you just, it's like a perpetual, it's like a, you know, what do you call that? Like a revolving door.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of energy.
Yeah. That's for sure. So you just got promoted. This is my last question for you is, you just got promoted to a sales training role at Allagash. Well, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
You've been a sales rep for many, many, I've only known you as a sales rep.
And it's been at least a decade.
Yeah,
I was going to say it's been over a decade.
So I'm sure you have thoughts about this. How has sales changed from when, you know, like the middle or like the 2010s to now? What have you seen?
So what I can say is that the people that taught me, well, let me back up. What I can say is I haven't learned anything from a book about this job. There's no handbook for the nuances of how to handle yourself as an adult in these compromising environments. You know, environments that we usually go to party, to not work, you know. And there's just no guidebook. And so that really struck me, because the way that the industry is going is that, you know, I'll say I'm 37 and I started right, you know, when I was like 21, and the people that taught me they're aging out. Like, in other words, they're getting towards retirement. Mm-hmm. And so being at this mid-level range, as far as age goes, we're seeing a lot of fresh faces. And the unfortunate reality is that there's not a ton of field sales focused training to really prop these people up for success. Because a lot of people, since the pandemic specifically, have been switching career paths, have been trying new things. So you're seeing a lot of fresh faces. You're seeing a lot of faces of people that might have sold houses or cars or insurance, and they're trying at beer because they love beer and they've discovered this thing. And ordinarily you would have, you know, back in the early 2000s, there was sort of a, like a pecking order, if that's the right term, but like, it was like, I guess that's not the right term. I don't know what to call it, but it was like basically almost like an apprenticeship, right? You start as a merchandiser, or you start in the hospitality side of things, like at a bar or a restaurant, and you kind of work a few years at either. And then from there, you're kind of promoted to either work at a distributor in the sales, like in a sales route, so field sales, or alternatively in field sales for a brewery. And then you kind of cut your teeth doing that, and you figure it out, and through trial and error and mentorships from the, you know, the elder, the people with that are tenured, you just learn, you know. It's just, and all the reps that were out in the trade when I came into it were all like my age now. So they were all kind of I had so many mentors, so many, that taught me everything I needed to know. I still don't know everything at all, but everything I needed to know to survive out there, you know, in sticky situations as a woman. And so I just see that the industry is changing, because now we're getting, it's just another phase. Like, it's like the next chapter. So you're seeing a lot of people with lack of experience of the stuff you can't teach over a Zoom meeting or a harassment class. You know what I mean? Like, those are great. And there's definitely a need for more guidance and mentorship for this next wave of reps in order to really take hold of the culture and keep this industry alive.
Yeah, I know a lot of breweries have been cutting sales people, or they're relying on distributors to sell their beer because distributors have field people. And I always like sales because you're the first line, you know, you're the teachers. You know, yes. The brewer's not going out there. He's brewing or she's brewing. It's the salespeople. And so that's interesting that did Allagash create that sales training job specifically for, is that new or is that something they've always had?
I think they've had it in the past and they recreated the role. And I went for it because I saw the need for it. And I saw that's my passion ultimately is people. What, you know, I'm in sales because I'm in sales, but obviously you have to like people. And my real passion is to help people. So to me, this is like a perfect marriage of the two where I can use my experience and not have to throw it away and, you know, to pursue my real passion of helping people. And I can utilize that to help new professionals that want to join this industry and welcome them with open arms and like let them know that it's a lot of trial and error. And, you know, yes, this is normal and no, that's not. And yes, this is acceptable and no, that's not. And just guide them in the best way that I can. It's not about transference of information, like I said, like stuff that they can learn by researching, like they can learn the brand themselves. Like it's not, you know, of course I'm going to teach them stuff too, but it's really just more of the nuance of like street selling. Like you're just in the streets, like, you know, like you're just out there.
Yeah, you're doing what you can. You're
like, imagine if you never knew and you just got sent into a bar and it's like, there's some drunk regular, like it's 2 p.m. Like, you know what I mean? Like you just have, there's so many situations where you just go, what do I do? And so I'm hoping that the goal of the training for me would be to kind of fast forward those years of trial and error to kind of get them like a jump start. You know what I mean? And then really just promote sales.
Which also means, as you kind of alluded to, a sales rep's career is sort of limited in time in terms of how long they can actually do that. And so the earlier you can get them firing on all cylinders.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's the goal. Because at the same time, you know, we're filling the roles. All breweries are filling their spots with reps. And that's the other thing is because beer, craft beer is in a bit of, I don't want to say turmoil because who am I to speak on that? I mean, I guess I could say it, but it just seems to be in a bit of change. Like, I think we all know it, including people listening. Like, it's just, it's a different time. It's a different chapter. So people that are highly experienced, like myself, it's actually more difficult for us to move around in the industry right now, because I think companies might be looking for the fresher faces and like newer people, to be honest.
But I like your idea of like, you're helping people, discover beer and enjoy and love beer, because I know you love beer. And so I like, that's the goal in any, it doesn't have to be.
That is the goal.
It doesn't have to be just sales. It can be, you're selling beer, but you're also, your salespeople are educators. Salespeople are, you know, they're administrative. There's so much that you all do that a lot of people just think, yeah, you're like, I've got a tab at a bar, drink Allagash White. There's so much more than that. So
that's the thing. It's a spectrum, right? So there are reps that get the job done that way. And then there's reps that get the job done another way. And it's just like, who do you want to be? And so my goal is to teach and train anyone that comes in contact with me for that purpose to be themselves, because they were hired, maybe not because of their experience, but they were hired because of who they are and how they presented themselves in the interviewing process. And they're special. So it's like taking that and fitting them as themselves within the framework that the brewery that hired them is looking for. And once you can do that, once you can really feel like you're being yourself, that's when the sales come. I mean, that's what people really like that. People really want something different. They want to know that you're a weirdo. They want to know, you know what I mean? They want to hear about stuff. Like they want that relationship. You know, people like interconnectedness. So it's about that connectivity and efficiency. And that's kind of the two themes for training.
Cool. That's awesome. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on the program today and talking about your breadth of experience. This has been really enlightening and I really appreciate it. If people want to get a hold of you or learn like you know, talk to you about, because you've got a lot of like really great ideas. Is there like a, you know, like they should they go to Allagash? Do you have a social media that's your own or an email that you can throw out? What, totally up to you, whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I'll just give my personal email, or I don't know, should I do my personal email or my
you
work
can do
email?
Whatever you can do, whatever you
I'm
want.
Like, I don't know. Let's go with my personal email because it's easy for people to remember. It's my full name, Lisa Turso, LISATURSO @gmail.com. And I welcome any correspondence. That would be fantastic. Thank you for the questions. Thank you for even asking me. I'm flattered and I'm proud of you, and this is awesome. And thank you.
Of course. Thank you so
I'm
much
proud
for your
of
time.
Him too.
Oh, I'm proud of Don. Don's great too. I'm proud of all of us.
Yes.
The Don, the Don of beer.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Very thank you good. Thank you so much, Lisa. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Lisa.
And we'll be right back with Brett Hollander of HDI Distributing right after these messages.
At Estrella Galicia, they are proud to say that they are the only national brewer that has their own hops. In 1915, their visionary founder, Jose Maria Rivera Corral, embarked on supporting the cultivation of hops in Galicia, quickly establishing it as the primary hop-growing region in Spain until 1982, when hop cultivation ceased. Fast forward to 2004, the 100th anniversary of Estrella Galicia, the fourth generation of the Rivera family proposed and initiated the revival of hop cultivation in Galicia. Hops are integral to their brewing heritage and are carefully selected. They incorporate a variety of hops in their recipes, Nugget, Pearl, Admiral, and more. Depending on their beer recipe, one or more of these varieties takes center stage. Learn more by visiting them on Instagram at Estrella Galicia, USA.
Brett Hollander is a craft beer sales manager and a certified Cicerone at Hartford Distributors in Manchester, Connecticut. HDI is a family business started by Brett's grandfather in 1944 as an Anheuser-Busch wholesaler and has grown to include some other great national and regional brands like Boston Beer, Yingling, Sierra Nevada, Lawson's Finest, Founders, Zero Gravity, and Long Trail, as well as some great local craft like Counterweight, Back East, Thomas Hooker, City Seam, and Black Hog. Brett is also the founder of the Rising Pipe Brewfest at Rentschler Field, which is the UConn football stadium in East Hartford, Connecticut. Welcome to the show, Brett.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So your family, your third generation distributorship, right? So Hartford Distributors was started by your grandfather 80 years ago. So you've grown up with being part of a distributor. What is that like?
I have. Well, we're a Budweiser wholesaler, so I've grown up with the Clydesdales in my life. So I've had many visits and been on them when I was a little kid. I have pictures.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, wow.
So, when I got to be 18, I started with Eagle Snacks, because back then we still had Eagle Snacks. So before I was old enough to drink, I was working with the chips and honey roasted cashews.
Nice. So yeah, this has been part of your life forever. So I mean, especially if you get to ride a Clydesdale, I mean, it's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
How have you overseen when you got to be in your, you know, 20s and 30s and whatnot? Like, how have you implemented? What have you implemented in HDI now? Especially with you have a large craft portfolio. So have you had any?
Yeah, that was my first, when I first had a Long Trail Ale, it definitely set apart and started down a different tangent for me as far as beer goes. I obviously grew up with Budweiser, but it was Long Trail was a complete departure from that. And then I needed to go find out what else was out there. And part of my exploration started, honestly, on fish tour parking lots and trying different beers from around the country that people would bring and trade in the parking lot before a fish concert, and was able to try a bunch of different beers. And it just got me wanting to bring that into our wholesalership, which we were never exclusive Anheuser-Busch wholesaler. We've always been independent. We've had Heineken and some other brands for a long time. Obviously, AB is our first and foremost and primary brand, but we have had a diverse portfolio and more diverse when I started coming along and meeting people. And I have been, you know, around the country. When I first went to Belgium, it opened my eyes even further. And when I came back, I started going to CBCs regularly. And that's great that CBC is always in a different city, and it takes us around the country and all trying different things. And that's always been very positive and enabled me to hook up and meet a lot of different great brewers from all over the country and have great conversation. And obviously, try to bring them to Hartford Distributors to work and represent their brands. Some of them have, some of them didn't want to skip so many states when I met them, like Odell back in the day. We've had some really good relationships, forged some good relationships, and we're doing awesome with some of the brands that we've brought, like Lawson's, one of them, one of our key.
Ah, interesting. So like you are a Bud House. How much, I guess, I think a lot of people have this impression that Bud is this, you know, big bad bully. And so it's interesting to hear you say that you're allowed to bring in, you know, even other macros like Heineken and then your craft portfolio. Do you ever get any pushback from Bud? Do they look at your sales numbers and say, well, as long as we're still number one, I guess it's okay, but you know, you better watch yourself. Like, how bad is it or good is it?
I would say everything but the watch yourself part was fairly accurate. As long as we're doing well and keeping, you know, AB on the forefront. You know, I mean, our salesmen have a mindset when they walk into an account. You know, they try to sell the whole book. And honestly, we don't have a crazy long tail in our book. We do have a number of different brands, but we've been selective on what we've brought into our portfolio over the years, so that, you know, we try to have the best portfolio, something for everybody. Try to fill holes where we need to have a hole filled in a certain style or a certain, you know, where a brewery factors in, you know, different things. We just added Barclay from Mamaroneck, New York. A small little brewery, really doesn't have a lot of volume potential off the cuff, but it's very small, only because it's a small brewery. But you know, so it's a vast difference between that brand and, you know, some of our bigger brands for sure. But we're able to balance it all by not having a crazy portfolio. We don't go everything, you know, we kind of are selective.
Yeah. So people, a lot of people don't understand or know a lot about distribution. It's kind of this gray area between, you know, brewers making beer and then they can buy it at a liquor store, or package store. But I know that distributors have sales reps. So how do distributor reps work in tandem with brewery sales reps, or what's the difference between your salespeople versus a brewery
Especially
salesperson?
if the brewery is from somewhere else, right?
Yeah,
Like,
like if I'm selling, you know, Firestone Walker, and I'm from, well, we don't get Firestone Walker in Connecticut anymore, but like, I'm trying, like, you carry Sierra Nevada. So, like, how does the sales Sierra Nevada rep work with your sales reps to move product?
our Sierra Nevada rep is a great guy. He's been in the industry for a while, and he's had a lot of relationships with a lot of our better accounts over the years. So, you know, he just goes out on his own, really, and high spots, see some accounts. He'll do some Sierra Nevada promotions every once in a while. You know, he'll do something where he'll go to, you know, Eli Cannon's in Middletown and do an event.
It's a very good, for those who don't know, it's a very good beer bar.
Yes. But he'll make the rounds and he'll go, because the other flip side of the coin is, yes, you know, our guys go in there and they sell the whole book and they do the best they can, but a lot of these bar owners and package store owners, because we are a heavy independent driven state versus chain driven.
Yeah, we have laws against that in Connecticut. You can only own X amount of stores. So,
Right. So you can only get so big
yes.
and you can't be everywhere, which enables the smaller mom and pop stores to still thrive and do well in the state. And it does give us a lot of selection, I think, at the stores. But having those independent guys, they and the bar managers, they want to see somebody from the brewery as well. They don't want to just see our person. They're happy to see our person,
Yeah.
but they would like to see some interest from the brewery as well, especially the local guys.
Do you do a lot of ride-alongs at HDI, or so where, for people who don't know, it's when the distributor rep and the sales rep go around to like key accounts or spaces and talk about the beer and, you know, maybe some samples. Is that important part of your business or
It's
not
not
so
as
much?
important for some of the smaller brands because it's not right for every account, and we
Yeah.
go to every account. So it sometimes is disruptive to the salesman, in the course of the day, kind of will slow them down and make the day not as effective for them.
Brett, are you
But we
there?
have ways around that. We have merchandisers, and we will take a merchandiser and have them take over for some of that person's route for the day so that they have more time to spend and they can ride with the brewery rep. We also do high spotting with, we also have supervisors on the other side to help the sales rep, on top. So that person will go out and high spot and take that person to all the right accounts throughout the course of the day. And then the salesman doesn't get interrupted at all, but the sales person from the brewery still gets to see the accounts that he wanted to see.
Okay, that's good. A lot of people think that distributors have this kind of seamy underbelly where, like, or liquor stores where, you know, hey, I'll sell your product, but I want a free case, or I want gift cards, or I want, there's a lot of, it's very state by state. Some states, like our neighbors in Massachusetts, there's a lot of like, buy three kegs and get one free. We can't,
One
yeah.
accidentally falls off the truck, as
Oh
people
yeah. Oh,
often say.
oops. This, you know, this branded umbrella fell out of my truck and it, you take this. We in Connecticut actually have some pretty strict laws about that, but I'm sure that happens. How do you deal with bad actors and the what's the legal ramifications for people trying to, because I know it happens.
I know you're probably not going to believe me, but we do stay away from that. We are a case one state. It is
Yes.
illegal. Anything like that, as far as inducement, we don't really even go in a gray area.
Yeah.
Mainly because of who our partners are. We just don't do that. We don't. It just yes, it does come up,
Sure.
but we generally stay away from it as best we can. And there's really, I can't even think of an isolated incident right now. They have gotten to not even ask
Good.
anymore
Well,
for the
that's
most
good.
part.
I
But
have two questions.
the case on where Massachusetts does have that. It's a law that they have in their state where you can buy three kegs and get one, or you can buy whatever they have for a deal set up. You can make deals in Massachusetts and other states, but
Yeah.
in Connecticut, we can't do that.
Thank you for that. I have two follow-up questions. One, you said they don't even ask anymore. The fact that they used to ask implies maybe other distributors are maybe a little bit fast and loose. That's question one. And then question two is, what is your opinion on whether or not anti-inducement laws are good or bad? Like, certainly in other industries, Coca-Cola can, hand out umbrellas like candy. Is that fine? Should that be the way it is?
Well, I think, and we do hand out umbrellas, no question. The law in Connecticut is that we can give up to a certain $500 to an account per year of
Oh, nice.
branded point of sale. And we try to stick to that. I mean, we do, we stick to that. So,
Yeah, they're really strict. I was telling people because I live in Connecticut and people are always like, Oh no, they do. And I was like, no, like there a lot of breweries are on the up and up. They want to make sure that they can, keep working in the state. It's pretty strict.
And the wholesalers are on the up and up. To answer your first part of your question, I couldn't think of somebody right now that is certainly not going to roll the bus, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
That's really great to hear. I mean, certainly where I live, also inducements are illegal, but there's rumors, for sure that, oh, this brewery all the time, but
But
so that's really glad
neons
to hear.
and umbrellas, bar mats, tap handles.
If your brewery can afford it, then and to help an account, yeah, I mean it's
That's all allowed.
Yeah, it's yeah, I don't mean I just always find it strange. Yeah. There's certain different states for different things. That's what a lot of people don't understand is that each state is completely different when it comes to distribution laws. Connecticut, I think one of the things that we struggle with is out of state taxation, right, Brett? Like it's really expensive to bring a brewery across state lines. Is that
It
still the case?
is. It's a significantly different. I think it's $15 for a label if you're in state and 250 if you're out of state. Plus, you have to register the brewery, and it's definitely over $1,000.
Which is really expensive. A lot of states, it's not like that. So we've had breweries drive through our state to drop off beer in Massachusetts because it's way cheaper. Or they'll come in and then they realize I've talked to breweries where they've come into the state and then they were like, well, this is a terrible idea, and then they leave. So yeah, it's pretty crazy. But we're small enough where if you want to drive to Massachusetts and buy something, but don't support local.
True, true.
Brett, can you talk about, you have a bunch of brands in your portfolio. What if a brand isn't selling well? How will you work with them, and at what point do you go, you know what, we gave it the old college try, and it's time
Well, we'll
to cut
definitely
bait.
do incentives, first and foremost. And those are co-opted between us and the brewery, and we'll rotate them throughout the year. We try not to do too much at once when you, because if you do too much, you can't focus. So, we definitely have plan out the year so that there's a balance between our bigger brands and still be able to get some attention to our smaller brands, and throughout the course of the year. But if they're missing the mark on liquid, I really always felt my job main task is to analyze the market, what they want to buy, and then get that for them and sell it to them. It sounds easy. It's not, but and there's more into it, but my main job here at a distributor is to get stuff that people want to buy. And in order to do that, I have to be out in the market. I have to be out in the trade. I have to go talk to people. I have to figure out what are the trends. It's why I listen to a lot of these podcasts, and it's weird sitting here listening to you guys talk, and you're actually talking to me because I listen to your show all the time. Exactly where I'm sitting right now on the same speakers. But so try to keep up with the trends, try to analyze the market, see what people want to buy and bring that in. And if it has to take a little bit of coaching, I guess I'm not trying to steer anybody. I'm just trying to tell people what the market is looking for.
And this has worked, and this hasn't worked. Maybe think about it or whatever.
It has worked and hasn't worked. I've worked on some brands with some breweries and made some strong suggestions that, that they have an IPA as their flagship. And if they didn't, because we're in Connecticut and the number one thing that sells in Connecticut is a hazy IPA. So if you're not have one as your flagship, you should have one. So, stuff like that, maybe having variants or, again, figuring out what people want to buy so that we can get that here for them to buy it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Is breaking, have you ever had, I mean, I'm sure you've had to, but like breaking a distribution contract is like really, really hard. Is that something that do you work with Do you are your contracts pretty ironclad like that, or?
Connecticut is very much ironclad,
Yeah.
past marriage, past death. Like it's forever. It's in perpetuity. The contracts, the Connecticut, and we do put that. We make sure that that's in our contracts. Is and really a lot of the other words that are in the contracts don't even really matter. It's all that matters is that the contract is governed by Connecticut law, and it's very strong in Connecticut, the franchise laws in Connecticut. But we also, like I said before, we're not trying to take everybody so that we have a bunch of things just sitting there. We're not brand
Yeah.
collectors. We try to be able to have a balance so that we can focus on everybody and do our due diligence for our partnerships.
Course. And then I got one last question for you. So what do you wish people like out like customers or even people in the beer industry knew about what you do and working at distribution? Because I think it's like a mystery. People just don't understand what the distribute like oh we don't need distribution. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that most breweries can't move their own product. So what do you
To
wish?
every single
Yeah, to
account across the
every
state.
like account. There's like a 25 liquor stores in my town alone.
Yeah, well, that's a huge piece of it is the fact that we do go everywhere and we have brands. We're fortunate enough to have brands in our portfolio that most every account wants to, and so, knock on wood, we've been able to build that portfolio so that we are. Our mission is to be needed, to provide a service that's needed for our customers and maintain a portfolio that they want to work with, not that they have to work with, that they want to work with. Let's see. Can you repeat that question again?
Oh yeah, no, just what do you wish people knew about distribution? Is there anything that you can think of off the top of your head that you wish
Outside
people
of what I just
understood?
said, like I guess we do everything.
Yeah, you do.
I'm actually our draft technician,
Oh.
and I'm trying to make sure everything pours properly, that people have a great experience with all of our brewery's products. So if somebody's draft is foamy and they don't have anybody else to call, they can call me and I'll go out and try to fix it. I also do staff trainings. I'm the lead staff trainer for restaurants in our marketplace. Picking out different beers, doing beer dinners with different accounts. I enjoy doing, I mean, if they want to do a dinner with a brewery, I can help them line up with the brewery. But I like the fact that when someone wants to work with me and I can cherry pick my portfolio and have a beer from Founders and have a beer from Germany, and have, a sour beer from Connecticut and an IPA from Vermont and have that all on the same menu and it'd be different breweries and doesn't really happen that often. So we try to provide a service outside of, and good, honestly, a brewery can't be everywhere all the time. We have a better chance of supporting that need in the marketplace and kind of give them another person to support them when they can't be there.
That's yeah. Okay. You also make signs. You do. They have a sign. Do you have a
We
sign? You
have
have a,
a tremendous sign shop here with two full-time graphic artists that are making, cranking out signs for all of our brands every day, which has been huge because signs are everywhere and we need to change them. Pricing changes a lot on these things. And not that we launch brands, we try to be calculated again on balancing on when we launch brands, and so that there's some time in between and we can again focus on one thing at a time and not everything at once, because then nothing gets focused on. And I think things fall through the cracks and fail when you try to do too much.
Sure, absolutely.
The saying is, if you have more than three priorities, you actually don't have any priorities.
Makes sense.
That's a good point, Don. Well, Brett, thank you so much for coming on and dispelling some myths and teaching us about distribution and what you do. If people want to reach out to you or learn more about HDI, social media or website, how do they get in touch with you? Email?
I'm Brett Beerbud on Instagram.
To follow Brett.
And I think I'm the same thing on Facebook. But most everything that you'll see on my page is about Clemson Tiger football,
That's not beer. Okay, so not beer related.
there's some beer stuff on what I'm doing. And I also own a disc golf course. I built a disc golf course. So in Simsbury, Tower Ridge Disc Golf. So I'm often there. And actually, we do a fun beer crawl event there that includes all the a lot of the we have 18 holes that are sponsored by a different brewery, and it's a fun day, I'll say the least. I went and sample and all these different beers with all these different breweries and cideries, and there's a beer garden next door, so I keep busy.
Yeah, I was going to
Yeah,
say, you
yeah.
got your hands in a lot of different things.
Sounds pretty good.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. And cheers. Thanks a lot, Brett.
Cheers.
Cheers,
Thanks,
Brett.
guys. Thank you.
So, Don, what did you think about that episode? Did that help? Do you know more about the American three-tier system or?
Well, I know more. I'm still confused by
Yeah,
Pennsylvania because we didn't really talk about that.
Oh my gosh, don't give story about Pennsylvania. Or
but yeah,
Oklahoma or Utah or yeah.
I think that my goal for this podcast episode was for people to understand that, it's not easy to get beer from the brewery into your hands, and a lot of thought and effort and work, and people make careers out of this for a reason. So I think that we taught that to people. I hope. I don't know. Em, thoughts on that?
I think so. It's really interesting to talk to Brett about how the distributor, helps, helping brands grow.
Yeah.
And it's not just, oh, they're a necessary part of the industry. And then listening to talking to Lisa about, I'm not at a bar all day just like drinking beer. I've got so many different, there's like, and you're
Spreadsheets and yeah.
spreadsheets and you're all by yourself. And how do you prioritize what accounts are really good? I mean, it's a lot of work. Both on the distro side and the sales side. I mean, these are some
Yeah.
really hard workers. So it was really
Well,
nice to
and
talk to both of them.
kudos to her that she worked 3 months without drinking. Right?
Yeah, and you're in
That's
bars a lot, you're meeting with
exactly.
people, and I mean it shows that it's not just about drinking your own product
No.
and enjoying it, it's about teaching others to enjoy it. And that was what
Right.
Lisa was saying. So I think
Yes.
that's awesome.
Yes, me too.
So visit allaboutbeer.com and follow us on social media at All About Beer. And once again, if you're feeling generous, please visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/allaboutbeer to support this show and others. If you have any questions for the experts, email podcast@allaboutbeer.com. That's also the email for feedback, suggestions, or to inquire about supporting the show through advertising. Don, how can people reach out to you?
I am the Dawn of Beer on Twitter, Threads, and Instagram. And people can drop me an email at dawn@thedawnofbeer.com. How about you, Em?
I am at Pints and Panels across all social media, and my website is pintsandpanels.com. Here's a final word from our sponsor.
When drinking Estrella Galicia Special, talking about hops, you'll experience the distinctive bitterness of Nugget and the herbal, spicy aromas of Pearl. Meanwhile, in their 1906 Black Cooperage, the spotlight is on Slatic, offering subtle spicy notes and green grassy tones. So when you drink Estrella Galicia beers, know that each sip encapsulates not just a century of brewing tradition, but also the resurrection of hop cultivation in Galicia. Learn more by visiting them on Instagram at Estrella Galicia USA.
This show is produced by All About Beer. Visit allaboutbeer.com for articles, notes on this show and others, and to connect via the newsletter and social media. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Thank a sales rep.
Thanks. Buy them a beer. No, don't buy them a beer.